Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom, objectivist perspective of rational self-interest, laissez-faire capitalism, and individual rights. Yaron Brook, executive director of the Ayn Rand Institute, invites you to the conversation. The Yaron Brook Show starts now. On AM 560, The Answer.
Welcome, Chicago. This is Yaron Brook, and this is the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560, The Answer. We're going to be here every Saturday, 4 p.m. on Chicago time. I'm excited. This is my first show live. So this is going to be a different show. I think you're going to hear some things that you don't hear anywhere else. I'm going to approach the topics of the day, the issues of our time, from the perspective of Ayn Rand's philosophy, objectivism. And if you haven't heard of Ayn Rand, well, now's your chance. Go out, pick up a book, Atlas Shrugged, The Fountainhead, great American novels, maybe the greatest American novels ever written. Big, thick books, but definitely worth reading. And a lot of nonfiction. Ayn Rand wrote a lot of nonfiction, books like with provocative titles like Capitalism, The Unknown Ideal, which basically makes the case that we've never really had capitalism, so we don't really know how good it can be. Or The Virtue of Selfishness. Ever heard of a more provocative title than that? Now, we'll be talking a lot about The Virtue of Selfishness. We'll be talking a lot about capitalism, the unknown ideal, in the weeks, months, who knows, maybe years to come on this show. So, you know, sit back, relax. You're going to be provoked. This should be fun. This should be exciting. You know, if you're interested in what I have to say, if you're interested in the topics in the show, follow me on Twitter. It's at Yaron Brook, YaronBrook, and like me on Facebook. So let's get started. You know, one of the issues I think we're going to be discussing over and over and over again over the next, again, weeks, months, is a mystery that all of us, that I and my friends and people who intellectually are my allies, a mystery that all of us are confronted with on a constant basis. And this is the mystery. And hopefully, as we go through these many shows, we will slowly unpeel this mystery and slowly maybe solve it. So you can view the Yaron Brook Show as a mystery show. How about that? That's different. Okay, what's the mystery? Well, the mystery is this. Capitalism, the system of free markets. And when I mean free markets, I mean free of regulation, free of controls, free of government intervention. Free of government coercion. So capitalism, the system of free markets, has been an unmitigated, unbelievable success story. It has allowed us to rise out of poverty, rise out of conditions that no American lives on today. If you go back 300 years, everybody on this planet was basically poor. Everybody on this planet basically worked for subsistence, worked in order to feed himself. Today, even the poorest Americans, most of them have cars, cell phones, air conditioning. You know, the standard of living today, as a consequence of the system called capitalism, is just unbelievable. And the more we have taken capitalism seriously, the more free markets we've instituted, the freer markets we've had, the greater the success, the greater the wealth creation, the higher the standard of living, the better the quality of life. I'd even argue the cleaner our environment, the richer the poor people are. So the more we practice capitalism, the more we have free markets, the less we have government controls, regulations, the better off everybody is. At least everybody is willing to work. Everybody is willing to take their life seriously. Everybody, anybody who's willing to take any bit of personal responsibility, their life is better off under a system of free markets, under a system of capitalism. And we've seen this throughout history, and we've seen this in different geographic areas. So it's not a matter of geography. It's not a matter of ethnic group. It's not a matter of It's not a matter of race. It's just true. It's everywhere. Capitalism works. And we'll get into more of that. And again, you know, we're going to dedicate much, much, much of these shows in the future to showing that capitalism works and explaining why capitalism works and how capitalism works. But it works. The evidence is right there in front of us. So this is a mystery. If it works, if what I said is true, if capitalism really does produce higher standard of livings, if capitalism does really raise the quality of life, if capitalism is better for the poor, and I granted, I haven't proven that. It'll take me a few shows to prove that, but we'll get there. We'll prove it. Then why? Why, oh why, is the world turning its back on capitalism? Why, oh why, is America turning its back on capitalism? Why do we only see, I don't care, Republicans, Democrats, I don't care who's in the White House, I don't care who's in the Senate, who's in the House, why do we only see, only see increased regulations, increased controls, for the most part, higher taxes, less capitalism, less freedom? Why do we see that if the system is so good? And we do. Look, we do. And again, I don't care if it's Obama or Bush. Right under Bush, government spending almost tripled. Under Bush, we got massive new regulations. I know the Democrats want to tell us that Bush deregulated the economy and that's why we had a financial crisis. But that is complete and utter unmitigated nonsense. Bush increased regulations. The number of regulations increased under the Bush administration, under a Republican House, a Republican Senate, with a Republican president, regulations increased. You know, I don't know how many of you remember Sarbanes-Oxley, one of the most massive regulatory bills in American history, passed under the Bush administration in 2002. Nobody talks about that. Nobody remembers that Bush actually increased regulations across the board. Banks were more regulated in the 2000s than they were under Bill Clinton. More regulated, not less, more. And government spending. Government spending is a proxy to how big government is. How big government is a proxy to how much it interferes in our life and how much it imposes itself on our actions. Government spending dramatically increased under Bush. Indeed, let's go even further back in history. You know, the conservative hero, Ronald Reagan. Well, Reagan did a lot of good things. But under Ronald Reagan, taxes went down, true, but regulations went up. Spending, government spending went up dramatically, doubling during Ronald Reagan's presidency. Ronald Reagan didn't shrink government. He came into office saying, I'm going to eliminate three different departments. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Nothing. He did nothing. Not when it comes to actually reducing the size of government. Not when it comes to actually freeing up the economy. Not when it comes to actually moving us towards free markets and capitalism. No president has moved us in that direction in a sustainable, systemic way since FDR, since the Great Depression. Actually, even before FDR, Hoover was the first real big government president. And actually, before him, it was Woodrow Wilson. We had a couple of presidents who were pretty good after Woodrow Wilson, Harding and Coolidge. But other than that, nothing. So over the last 80 years, we've had no president, no House, no Senate that's actually systematically, sustainably moved us towards capitalism and free market in spite of the fact, in spite of that equivocal fact, in spite of all the evidence that suggests that capitalism and free market are really, really good for us. They work. They work. And I know, many of you, because after all, this is being broadcast in Chicago, and there are many, many enemies of the free market in Chicago. Many of you are saying to yourselves, but wait a minute. We know that capitalism fails all the time. We know that free markets don't work. And, you know, next week, the show will be live, and I'll be taking callers, and please call in with all those questions, because I know you're itching to tell me how wrong I am, but you know what? I'm not. You're saying, didn't capitalism cause the financial crisis? And I say, how could it have?
You're telling me that in 2007 we had free markets? In 2007 we had capitalism? Financial markets are the most regulated industry in the whole United States of America. They weren't free. There was no capitalism. There was no free markets to fail. The most regulated industry, finance, mortgage, housing, where the government is everywhere, where the government intervenes in everything. Those are the industries that failed. Those caused the financial crisis. This is a financial crisis of government all over. This is a financial crisis of government. So why is it we don't move towards capitalism? Why is it that in spite of its success, we have no free markets? Well, we'll start answering that question. We'll start hinting at where the source of the problem really lies right after this break. See you, talk to you in a few minutes.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Nikki and Michelle, taking a look at traffic. It's now a half an hour inbound on the east to Montrose from Lake Cook. Heading outbound, all clear, only 19 minutes there. There is a crash that has two left lanes blocked between Nagel and Lawrence is where we're seeing the backup. Also, the left lane is blocked at Montrose with a medical emergency. It will cost you 44, 2 downtown from O'Hare from Montrose, 24 on the reverse, 10 of Montrose to O'Hare, half an hour. Express lanes are at 8. We now have a new crash on the right shoulder, inbound on the Ike after the Tri-State, and then some stop-and-go traffic starting at Wolf. A crash was just cleared at Costner, and you'll see another delay at Palina to the Circle, 45 to the post from Thorndale on the opposite side, a 32-minute trip. It's 75 degrees and clear tonight's low is 62. Tomorrow's high is 76 and rainy. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
University of Colorado Boulder has launched an online system where students can report people who make, quote, hurtful statements.
Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson.
Has anybody ever said anything insulting to you when you were at the great Northwestern University?
When I was at Northwestern, and I'm not kidding, I was the most hated person on campus. They never said anything complimentary to me. All it was insults. Does that shock you?
No.
Exactly. It shouldn't. It doesn't shock me either.
Start your day with Chicago's Morning Answer. Weekday mornings, starting at 5 on AM 560. The Answer.
For 30 years, the Ayn Rand Institute has been on the front lines of the culture wars, introducing millions of students to Ayn Rand's books and ideas, educating young intellectuals who now teach at universities around the world, and speaking out in defense of free speech, free markets, free minds. You can join their battle for reason, individualism, and capitalism here in Chicago and around the nation by making your contribution today at AynRand.org/support. That's AynRand.org/SUPPORT.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment as you sit listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
Have you put off seeing the dentist because you can't afford to go? Are big dental bills taking a big toll on your wallet? Would you like to have dental insurance but think it's too expensive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company for a free information kit. See how you can help protect your teeth and your wallet for less than a dollar a day. 1-800-900-9385. This is real dental insurance that can help cover over 300 procedures, all the ones you're most likely to need. Everything from cleanings and fillings to crowns and dentures. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired or on Medicare. You can see any dentist you choose, and you'll never pay a deductible. Call in the next 10 minutes, and we'll rush you a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-900-9385. That's 1-800-900-9385. 1-800-900-9385.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brooks Show on AM 560. The Answer.
All right, I'm back. This is the Yaron Brooks Show. We're talking capitalism. We're talking free markets. And we're asking the question, why is capitalism
in decline. Why, oh, why is the West, and here I talk about the United States of America and Europe, why, oh, why are we turning our backs to capitalism? And I just finished up saying the financial crisis, that wasn't caused by capitalism, that was caused by government. And we will do a whole show on the financial crisis, and I will show you point after point after point how everything that happened in the financial crisis was caused by ridiculous government regulations, by ridiculous government incentives, by ridiculous government controls, by ridiculous setup of the marketplace done by government. It caused the devastation that was 2008, and yet, in spite of all of that, and in spite of the fact that economists know this, there's no honest economist out there who thinks this crisis was caused by free markets. And in 5-10 years, I'll actually write articles about this, and I'll show, just like today, economists know that the Great Depression was caused by government policy. We don't teach that in schools, by the way. Our history teachers don't know this, but economists know this. Economists know that the Great Depression was caused by government policies. Economists know that the Great Depression was caused by the Federal Reserve. You know, the history teachers and our high school teachers still have to figure that out. It, you know, it's only been 70, 80 years. So, you know, they've got some time. They'll learn one step at a time. And the same thing's going to happen here. Economists, 10 years from now, there won't be a single economist who actually would tell you that this financial crisis was caused by banks, by free markets, by too much capitalism. That's just absurd, given how regulated, how controlled these banks, these financial institutions, mortgages, housing. You know, people say, oh, it was those greedy bankers. Well, let me tell you something. Bankers are always greedy. Bankers are always greedy. Nothing special happened in 2007. And what does it mean to say the bank is always greedy? Bankers' job is to make money for their institutions. Bankers are always looking for ways to make money. Always. That's their job. And we should all be thankful for that. That also is another topic for a future show. Why is it that finance is so important? Why are bankers so crucial to our standard of living, to our quality of life, to the sustainability of whatever little capitalism we have left in this country, whatever little freedom we have, economic freedom we have in this country? We need a healthy, sustainable, we need a robust financial industry, and we need to celebrate bankers, not penalize them. So, you know, let's talk a little bit more about this issue about capitalism. Is capitalism does capitalism work or doesn't it work? And I want to give you a few examples. First, there have been a few periods in human history and a few places in human history where capitalism has been tried, right? At least close to what I would consider capitalism. I agree with Ayn Rand. Capitalism is an unknown ideal in the sense that we've never actually had full-blown capitalism. We've never actually had a system that is truly free. We always have some government regulation, some government control, some government intervention, which is too bad. I'd love to have that experiment running. I'd love to have one country in the world somewhere, someplace, where you could see the enormous, unbelievable, unequivocal benefits of pure, unmitigated, uncontrolled, unregulated capitalism running. But unfortunately, we don't have that. So what we need to do is extrapolate from places that have had just a little bit of government controls, a little bit of government regulations. And one place like that was America in the 19th century. Now, America in the 19th century had a lot of problems, the biggest one being slavery. But, you know, put that aside. We can talk about slavery in a different show. You can call up and ask about slavery, a horrific thing, a horrific institution that 600,000 Americans died in order to eliminate. But if you look at, for the most part, the U.S. economy, particularly in the North, particularly after the Civil War, it was basically a free market. And the economy in the United States grew at the fastest rates in human history. We created more jobs than had ever been seen in human history. We absorbed millions and millions and millions and millions of immigrants. The biggest human migration in human history, particularly when you take into account how many people were in America, that is the small population, and how many we needed to absorb, and yet every one of those immigrants found a job. Every one of those immigrants had an opportunity to rise up, but so many of those immigrants did so incredibly well within a generation or two. And the immigrants who came to America during that period were not the most prosperous. They weren't the most intelligent. They weren't the most successful. They were the poor. They were the hungry. They were the persecuted. They were the ignorant. And yet they succeeded in America because we were free. Because we had as close as we've ever come to capitalism. And the economy grew. And by 1914, the United States, from being a third-rate colony in 1776, a third-rate colony that the mightiest military power in the world at the time, the British, didn't even fully fight, right? Because it wasn't that important. We went from a third-rate colony in 1776 to the mightiest industrial economic power the world has ever seen by 1914. That happened because of free markets, because of capitalism. Because they are unbelievably successful, because of the amount of wealth we created, because of entrepreneurs, because of businessmen, because of those so-called robber barons. And so-called because they were not robber barons. They were creators. They were builders. They were makers. They were entrepreneurs. They were the people who, on their backs, built this country. The great businessmen of the 19th century who built and made this country, the Carnegies, the Rockefellers, the Mellons, the J.P. Morgans. Yep, I even include bankers in that list. Economic growth was unbelievable, particularly if you look now, we compare it to today, where we get this tepid economic growth, where we get people underemployed, unemployed, where people don't even look for a job anymore because they're so frustrated. And you say there's no economic growth today. Well, that's right. We can't absorb millions and millions of immigrants because we have no jobs. That's right, because we have no free markets, because we have no capitalism. That's why we could be growing much, much, much faster. This economy could be booming right now, booming, and it wouldn't take that much. It wouldn't take that much. Right? Ask me on a future show, what would it take to get the U.S. economy going? What would it take for the U.S. to be flourishing and successful financially, economically? Not that much. Not that much. But we'll talk about that. I'm going to leave some stuff for a future show. All right, so we've got some history. We've got 19th century America. Boom. Unbelievable success. In spite of the Civil War, standard of living go up dramatically. Life expectancy almost doubles. Quality of life. Child mortality goes down, plummets. Quality of life goes up. Standard of living goes up. By every parameter of human well-being, the 19th century is an unmitigated, huge success story. Capitalism works. Free markets work. I know I'm repeating myself, but that's good. You need to hear this because everybody else out there tells you the opposite. Somebody actually has to stand up for capitalism. Pure capitalism, real capitalism, unregulated capitalism. My capitalism in my capitalist world, government would have no role, no, N-O, capital N, capital no, no involvement in the economy. It would leave us free, free to deal with one another voluntarily, free to buy and sell and to trade to our own mutual benefit. Anyway, that's my dream. That's my dream. We'll get there one day. All right, but let's take some other examples, right? That's 19th century America. Of course, the same thing happened in the 19th century to every country that adopted even elements of capitalism. They succeeded. Britain, Great Britain, succeeded enormously because it became a free trade country, because it adopted elements, not as much as the United States, and therefore it didn't become as rich as the United States, but some. Mainland Europe, much of the West, the wealth that the West has today, the wealth that Europe has today, that it's redistributing today, so much of that wealth was actually created under capitalism 100 years ago, 200 years ago, and today they're squandering it and redistributing it. Much of that wealth was based on capital created back then, and they have no appreciation for it. We have no appreciation for it. And remember the mystery. The mystery is why. The mystery is why don't we appreciate it? Why don't we care? What is it about capitalism that we so hate? What is it about capitalism we so resent? Why, oh why, don't we adopt this amazing system that is so beneficial to human well-being? More after this break in just a few minutes. Talk to you soon.
360 wants to say thank you to all the great business benefactors and sponsors who are helping to make possible our annual golf outing, presented by the Mutual Fund Store at the Bolingbrook Golf Club on June 11th. Proceeds from this event will benefit Operation Support Our Troops America. This event is also sponsored in part by Automated Systems, Chicago Communications, Executive Green Carpet Clean, Total Dentistry, Standard Bank, Chicago Anesthesia Pain Specialists, and by Poundstone Financial.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. Protests are happening in Cleveland after a jury found police officer Michael Brillo not guilty of manslaughter in the deaths of two black suspects. The city's mayor warns against violent demonstrations.
Actions that cross the line, whether by police officers or citizens, cannot and will not be tolerated.
Frank Jackson, the Justice Department says they'll review the case. Memorial Day weekend weather across America looking wet, windy, and white.
Portions of Texas and the plains that have received over a foot of rain will see even more this weekend. Flood watches and warnings remain posted. Strong to severe storms are also possible over this region with large hail, damaging winds, and isolated tornadoes. High pressure in the Atlantic will keep the rip current risk elevated, especially for the beaches from the Carolinas to Florida. Low pressure over the Rockies will keep showers, thunderstorms, below average temperatures, and even high elevation snow across the west through Monday.
Fox meteorologist Janice Dean, Fox News. We report, you decide.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Nikia Michelle, taking a look at traffic. Inbound on the Edens is now half an hour to Montrose from Lake Hook, heading outbound 19 minutes. Inbound Kennedy, due to a crash in the left lane with a medical emergency, it's really tight at Nagel to Montrose, 43 to downtown from O'Hare from Montrose, 21. On the flip, 10 to Montrose to O'Hare, 27. Express lanes are at 8. There's a crash on the right shoulder, inbound on the Ike at the Tri-State, and then delays pick up at Wolf to Harlem. Also, a crash was cleared at Costner, and you'll see another slowdown at Palina to the Circle. 50 to the post from Thorndale from Mannheim, 35 on the opposite side, 25 to Mannheim to Thorndale, 37. And inbound on the Stevenson bunches up at Harlem. It's 75 degrees and clear. Tonight's low is 62. Tomorrow's high is 76 and rainy. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
The Ayn Rand Institute invites you to join them on the evening of June 4th at the Langham Hotel in downtown Chicago as the Ayn Rand Institute honors nine Chicago area students who have truly excelled in their annual high school essay contests. ARI will be awarding prizes totaling more than $10,000 to these nine outstanding young people. Join ARI for the fourth annual Atlas Shrugged Revolution Benefit Dinner to celebrate these exceptional student essayists. You'll also be supporting ARI's work here in Chicago to encourage even more young people to read Ayn Rand's novels in the years ahead. Visit them online at atlasdinner.com or call toll-free at 888-604-ATLAS. Seating is limited, so call or go online today. That's ATLASDINNER.com, atlasdinner.com, or call 888-604-ATLAS. That's 888-604-ATLAS.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment, as you said listening to this radio show, there is a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels, waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Over the past decade, through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, they have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. Right now, they are placing more than 5,000 copies of Anthem, The Fountainhead, and Atlas Shrugged in schools right here in Chicago. Since 2003, they have placed more than 50,000 of Ayn Rand's novels in the Chicagoland area. You can help reach young minds today. You can help reach more students within this listening area. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at aynrand.org/support. That's aynrand.org/support.
The Johnson family had a savings account until their air conditioner died. The Martins had a vacation fund before their water heater quit. The Baileys have no savings, and their refrigerator just broke. The truth is, it can only take one home system or appliance repair to break your piggy bank. But buying a home warranty from American Home Shield can protect you against unexpected covered costs. For valuable free information, go to ahs.com or call 1-800-941-5549. Why pour money into repairs when American Home Shield will help pay covered repairs for you? Your air conditioner, plumbing, oven, refrigerator, water heater, and more. Service requests are subject to a service fee for each trade call. Some exclusions and limitations apply. The choice is yours. Pay for expensive home system and appliance repairs, or let AHS help pay covered repairs for you. If you want to avoid being hit hard by unexpected breakdowns, go to AHS.com for valuable free information, including terms, rates, and coverage. That's AHS.com. Or call 1-800-941-5549.
Yaron Brook, Executive Director of the Ayn Rand Institute, speaks to audiences around the world, promoting Ayn Rand's ideas in talks and books. Now, he's on your radio, here on AM 560, The Answer.
Welcome back. This is Yaron Brook, the Yaron Brook Show. I'm here every Saturday at 4 p.m. Chicago time. You can follow me on Twitter, Yaron Brook, at Yaron Brook, and you can like me on Facebook, and you can also find so much more about this topic, so much more about Ayn Rand and her philosophy, so much more about the work that I do at the Ayn Rand Institute website, AYNRAND.org, and you can look me up on YouTube, you can find lectures, there's a ton of content, there's no shortage. Hopefully I'm sparking some interest out there, and we will get, next week when I take some calls, you guys will all be chomping at the bit to challenge me and ask me questions. Anyway, we talked about history. We just talked about history. We talked about the success of capitalism during the 19th century. We talked about unbelievable increases in standard of living, life expectancy, the drop in child mortality, all as a consequence of free markets and capitalism. But you might say, well, that was history, and that's a long time ago, and that was then, and this is now, and today it doesn't work, and it causes problems, and it can't work. Life is too complex today, and we have too much technology today, and it just doesn't work that way. Well, really. Really, 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 really. Well, luckily, we have some experiments going on right now. I don't know how many of you have ever been to Hong Kong, but I like to tell audiences that I talk to that everybody should try to go to Hong Kong once in their life. Because Hong Kong is an astounding testament to free markets, to capitalism, to human ingenuity, to the human spirit. Do you know that there are more skyscrapers today in Hong Kong than in New York City? I would say shame on New York City and shame on America for not keeping up. Because ultimately skyscrapers, as you guys in Chicago know, skyscrapers are a symbol of human progress, a symbol of human success. You know, us building these monuments, really to capitalism, really to prosperity. Anyway, Hong Kong 70 years ago was a fishing village. Nobody lived there. It has no natural resources. It has nothing. It's a rock in the middle of nowhere. And yet today, 70 years later, 7.5 million people live on this rock. 7.5. GDP per capita, gross domestic product per capita, which is an estimate of wealth, of individual wealth, average wealth, is equal to that of the United States. So what it's taken us almost 250 years to attain, Hong Kong has done in 70 years. And what do they have in Hong Kong? Again, no natural resources, tiny little place. What do they have? They have a government that, at least until the Chinese took over, and the Chinese have maintained this to a large extent, this is why Hong Kong continues to flourish. All Hong Kong did was protect property rights. All Hong Kong did was protect contracts, was allow people to start businesses, not get in the way. There's no safety net in Hong Kong. There's no Obamacare in Hong Kong. There's no socialized health care in Hong Kong. There's a private system. There's as close to capitalism as we've seen since the 19th century. And boom! What a success. So much wealth. And who came to Hong Kong? Just like who came to America? Poor people from all over Asia. Poor people from Vietnam and people risked their lives to get there from China and from all over the place. They came there. And they built something. They created something that's amazing. That's astounding. More skyscrapers than New York City on a smaller space. Beautiful, beautiful at night. GDP per capita equal to the United States of America. People living well. People living success. Why? Because they're free. Because They're not regulated. They're not controlled. They're not told how to live. They're not told what they can buy and what they can't buy. They're not told what doctors to go to, what medical treatments they can and cannot have. And their wealth, they're not taxed, and their money redistributed like crazy. I mean, there's some taxes, but they're relatively very low. And they don't have a Federal Reserve that goes crazy. They have basically an economy that is linked to the U.S. dollar. So they suffer because our Federal Reserve acts like a drunken, crazy man. We'll talk about the Federal Reserve in another show. I've got a lot to say about the Federal Reserve. So you've got a success story there, but I want to give you one other data point. And this is a data point nobody talks about. And I think this is very illuminating, the fact that nobody talks about this. So over the last 30 years, many countries in Asia have adopted elements of free markets, South Korea, Taiwan, Singapore, and even China has liberated their economies, have freed up their price system, have allowed markets to function, have allowed markets to work. So they've adopted elements of free markets. They're not pure capitalists. They're not as good as Hong Kong. They're not as good as the 19th century was in the United States, but it's not bad. It's not bad, and in some ways, places like China is less regulated than the United States is today. You can do business easier in China than you can in the United States, at least in some industries. And what's been the result? What has been the result of freeing up the economies of Southeast Asia, even a little bit? Nobody talks about this. But the result has been that 800 million people have come out of poverty. 800, almost a billion people. Almost a billion people have risen out of poverty. Why? Because of capitalism. Why? Because of free markets. Even when they're tried a little bit, in small doses. Unbelievable success. So why, oh why, do we turn our back on them? More? More of the Iran Book Show, more answers after this break.
How can you get from here to there? We've got the answer from the ChicagoRadioDeals.com Traffic Center.
I'm Nikia Michelle, taking a look at traffic. Inbound on the Edens is 27-2 Montrose from Lake Cook, heading outbound's all clear with only a 19-minute trip. There was a medical emergency. It's been cleared inbound on the Kennedy, but it's still tight at Harlem to Montrose, and then delays are also all the way to the Circle. It's 42 downtown from O'Hare from Montrose. 20 express lanes are closing to flip inbound. Heading on the opposite side, 10 to Montrose to O'Hare, 24 express lanes are open at 8. Inbound I jams at Wolf to Pulaski, and then you have another delay at Ashland to the Circle. It's an hour to the post from Thorndale for Manheim, 44. Outbound 28 to Manheim to Thorndale, 41. Inbound Stevenson slows at Harlem to Kedzie, 39 to Lakeshore Drive from 355, and 36 on the opposite side. It's 75 degrees and clear. Tonight's low is 62. Next update in 15 minutes on AM 560, The Answer.
Chicago needs a revolution of better ideas to transform this city, this state, and this country. Join AM 560 The Answer at the 4th Annual Atlas Shrugged Revolution event at the Langham Hotel in Chicago on June 4th as we celebrate Ayn Rand's classic novel and its themes of individualism, free markets, and its implications for making the local and national changes we so desperately need. AM 560's Joe Walsh will broadcast on location from the event, and you'll hear from best-selling author and international speaker Yaron Brook. You'll also have the chance to meet and mingle with other fans of Atlas Shrugged on June 4th at the Langham Hotel in Chicago. The Atlas Shrugged Revolution is an event that liberty-loving patriots like you simply cannot miss. Tickets are available now by visiting atlasdinner.com or by calling 888-604-ATLAS. Seating is limited, so reserve your spot today. Online at atlasdinner.com or 888-604-ATLAS.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story of how SelectQuote goes to bat for you buying term life insurance. A while back, a man called me who had had prostate cancer. He asked if I could beat a very high quote another life insurance agent had given him. I said, let me see. Well, I took his pertinent information, then shopped the highly rated, price-competitive companies we represent, and found one who pre-approved him for a premium way below what he had been quoted. When it comes to term life insurance, no other company touches SelectQuote's experience and expertise in finding the right policy at the right price for almost anyone. How about you?
For your free quote, call 1-800-500-2260. That's 1-800-500-2260. 1-800-500-2260. 800-500-2260. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save.
No traditional conservative view, nor the standard libertarian ones. Welcome back to the discussion of Ayn Rand's radical fundamental principles of freedom. This is the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560, The Answer.
Welcome back. This is Yaron Brook, and we're talking capitalism, capitalism, capitalism. We're talking free markets. We're talking about why capitalism, or how capitalism in history, in the present, has been this amazing success story. I've given you examples in the 19th century. I've given you Hong Kong. I've given you Southeast Asia. I've given you the United States. But you can go on and on and on, and we can actually track. We can actually estimate economic freedom. We can rank economic freedom, and people do this. They actually give scores to different countries, right? The United States used to be number 3 in the world. Before George Bush became president, it was number 3 in the world. Hong Kong, Singapore, the United States of America. Today, after the Bush presidency, after 6 years of Obama, we are, depending on the survey, some rank, the two different rankings, one ranks us at 12 and one ranks us at 18. We have moved way, 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 way away from where we even were just 15 years ago in terms of economic freedom. We are far less free today than we were under Bill Clinton. There's a scary thought for you. All right. So I've given you all this evidence. The capitalism is an incredible success story. And really, I could go on and on and on, and I'm going to give you a few more examples, but really anybody with eyes, anybody who knows history should know this. And to me, it's astounding that people don't. Now, I know a lot of you are going to say, but we've got counterexamples, we want to ask you. Go ahead, call me up with all your counterexamples. I don't know of any. I've been doing this for a long time. I have not heard the counterexample. I have not heard from, I've done debates, I've done radio shows, I've taught, I've lectured, I've done hours and hours and hours and hours of Q&As, I've done it here, I've done it in Europe, I've done it in Asia, and I have not heard the counterexample for where capitalism does not work, for why free markets fail systemically, fail fundamentally, and where government is the solution. Haven't heard it, but hey! You guys need to try me out. You guys need to test me. And let's see if I can convince you guys. So, yes, so free markets. Well, I want to take an example. I want to take one industry. And by the way, this mystery of if they work, why are we moving away from them? We're not going to answer today. No. I want to keep you in suspense next week. Because we're gonna take a shot, a little bit of a shot at answering it next week. And then the week after that, and the week after that, and the week after that. You can take this mystery of why do we turn our backs on capitalism? Why is capitalism not embraced, not adopted wholeheartedly by the United States of America today? Why do we move against it consistently? You're going to take that as the theme of the Yaron Brook Show for weeks, months to come. Because we're going to drag it out. No, because it's an important question and we need to really make sure we answer it. Right now, I want to talk about trains a little bit. Because I want to talk about this Amtrak disaster, this tragedy of the train derailing. And I don't know what caused the train to derail, so I don't want to get into that. And it looks like it was operator error or so on. But I want to talk about the response of the left to the derailing of the train. And the response of the left was, oh, we need more subsidies. We need investments in infrastructure. No. The problem with this train is that it is subsidized. The problem with this train is that it's not a profit-seeking enterprise. The problem with this train is the fact that government prohibits competition on these routes. The problem of this train is that Amtrak gets preferential treatment from the government. The problem with this train is that we subsidize it as Americans, and we know, we should have known for decades, almost a century, more than a century, that when government involves in building, creating projects like railroads, it is a failure. It is awful. It doesn't work. The great example of this was the building of the Union Pacific, that great transcontinental railroad, which is a failure from day one. It was way more expensive than it needed to be because the contractors building the railroad were being paid by the government and basically being paid by the mile. So guess what they did? They zigzagged their way to the West Coast because they wanted to maximize miles so they would get paid a maximum amount of money. And they used cheap rails because what did they care? This is a government project. They didn't care. Rails that had to be replaced over and over and over again in the decades following. Accidents were common on the Union Pacific. It was a disastrous enterprise. Yes, we romanticize it in movies. We romanticize it in westerns. Hooray for the Union Pacific. But that's part of the propaganda. That's part of this image of the government can do no wrong and we need government to build our infrastructure because they do such a great job building infrastructure. No, they don't. They suck at it. Can I say suck on the radio? I don't know. Anyway, they're terrible at it. They're terrible at it, just like they're terrible building cars, just like they're terrible. Imagine what your iPhone would look like if a government committee built it. I dare you to imagine, just to pretend, imagine. And yet, you wouldn't let the government build your iPhone, but you would let them educate your kids, you would let them invest in science and decide what science is legit and what's not, and you would let them build a railroad. And you would let them decide what railroad should be going and what shouldn't be going and how much they charge and what infrastructure they need and what infrastructure they don't need. This is what you would let the government do, but no, they can't touch my iPhone. Oh, I don't want that. I want private enterprise working for the profit motive to build my iPhone because I love my iPhone. But we don't need profit motive in railroads. We don't need profit motive in trains. We want to subsidize them for the so-called common good. Right? Don't touch my electronics, but you can have everything else. No. Free markets, the profit motive, capitalism works in phones, it works in railroads, it works in every industry. Get government out of those industries and life would be so, so much better.
Somewhere in America, at just this moment, as you sit listening to this radio show, there's a young person waiting to discover Ayn Rand's novels. Waiting to have his or her life changed by the beauty of Ayn Rand's art and the logic of her ideas. Through ARI's Free Books to Teachers program, we have delivered more than 3 million copies of Ayn Rand's books to schools in every state. You can help us reach young minds today. Make your tax-deductible contribution now at AynRand.org/support.
For 30 years, the Ayn Rand Institute has been on the front lines of the culture wars, introducing millions of students to Ayn Rand's books and ideas, educating young intellectuals who now teach at universities around the world, and speaking out in defense of free speech, free markets, free minds. You can join their battle for reason, individualism, and capitalism here in Chicago and around the nation by making your contribution today at AynRand.org/support. That's AynRand.org/support.
Have you put off seeing the dentist because you can't afford to go? Are big dental bills taking a big toll on your wallet? Would you like to have dental insurance but think it's too expensive? If you answered yes to any of these questions, call Physicians Mutual Insurance Company for a free information kit. See how you can help protect your teeth and your wallet for less than a dollar a day. 1-800-900-9385. This is real dental insurance that can help cover over 300 procedures. All the ones you're most likely to need. Everything from cleanings and fillings to crowns and dentures. Your acceptance is guaranteed for one of these insurance policies, even if you're retired or on Medicare. You can see any dentist you choose, and you'll never pay a deductible. Call in the next 10 minutes, and we'll rush you a free information kit with all the details. 1-800-900-9385. That's 1-800-900-9385. 1-800-900-9385.
Intrigued, inspired, and possibly even angered. Welcome back to the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560. The Answer.
Well, I hope you're all having fun. We're talking capitalism and trains. How can you not have fun? Capitalism and trains. Okay, so trains. Let me just finish this point about trains. So Congress has been regulating Amtrak forever. It actually is the one dictating what technology Amtrak should use in order to make its train safer so they don't go as fast as this train did when it crashed. Right? Congress is dictating what technology the train should use. Now, it dictated this in 2008. So 7 years ago, Congress decided what technology over the next 7 years Amtrak should be instituting in order to slow its train down. I mean, Oh, my God. We're living in a world in which technology changes every month, where there's a new iPhone every year. And they want to implement a technology that's 7 years old that Congress decided was good. Again, this is Congress, who you would never let touch the design of an iPhone. You wouldn't let them design your computer. You wouldn't let them design your television. But they can design safety for trains. But this is the problem. This is what happens when you centralize it. This is what happens when you have government control. It all is messed up. You don't get anything good out of it. Imagine if trains were competitive. Imagine if there were competitive networks of trains out there. And indeed, on the route that is profitable, relatively profitable, from Philadelphia up to Boston, the regional trains are not allowed to compete with Amtrak. That's one of the problems. But imagine if it was competitive. And imagine if they adopted the latest technology, like GPS technology, like the technology on the Apple phones that knows where every train is and actually knows how fast we're going. Apple knows how fast I'm going when I'm on that train. You don't need some new technology that's costing billions and billions of dollars to figure out how fast the train is going. Every iPhone knows it. What you need is to adopt the latest technology, but you'll only do that if you have real competition. Aye. But we're not going to get that. We're not going to get that because Congress wants to control Amtrak. And again, it doesn't matter, Republicans, Democrats. And, of course, it's Congress who rides. Who do you think rides Acela, the so-called supposed fast train between Philadelphia and New York and Boston? It's politicians and it's their cronies and it's the lobbyists. That's the dominant people who are using those trains. Let them ride in regulated, unsafe trains. It's just horrific. It's just horrific. And we the taxpayer, have to subsidize all this. Okay, we're getting really close to the end of the show here, so I want to summarize. Capitalism works. Proposition one, it's worked in history. It works in different locations of the world. To the extent that we practice free markets, to the extent that we free them up, to that extent they're successful. The big railroad that was a huge success in the 19th century was J.J. Hill's Northern Railroad. And it was built with private money. No government money, no government control, no government regulation, was profitable from day one. Was slow, methodological, but safe and profitable and incredibly successful. Free markets work even on particular industries, even when competing with a government railroad like the Union Pacific. The Northerner is much, much more efficient. So capitalism works in industry, in countries, anywhere in the world, and any time in history, and yet we fast abandoning capitalism. Why, oh, why do we turn our back on this amazing system? What is it that drives us to hate it? What is it that drives us to blame every financial crisis, every economic crisis on capitalism? For the answers, tune in next week to the Yaron Brook Show on AM 560. The Answer, every Saturday, 4 p.m. Chicago time, and you can follow me on Twitter, like me on Facebook.
This has been the Yaron Brook Show with your radical for capitalism host, Yaron Brook. Keep the discussion going. Log on to AynRand.org, your portal to the Ayn Rand Institute. Learn how to apply Ayn Rand's principles in your own life. And make sure you tune in next Saturday afternoon at 4 for another hour of dynamic Ayn Rand discussion. The Yaron Brook Show on AM 560. The Answer.
Chicago and Patriots, listen up. This is Joe Walsh, and I want to tell you about a great event coming up. It's the 4th annual Atlas Shrugged Revolution event on June 4th at the beautiful Langham Hotel in downtown Chicago. I'll be broadcasting on location from this event. Also appearing will be Yaron Brook, best-selling author and...